sad about that. So ain't nothing else I could do. So this particular time, I cut across the grass, and there was a retaining wall. And the picture probably was about this high. And it was all the way across the front of the house. I didn't notice that until after the fact. But I thought it was dirt, maybe rock they had prepared, you know, during the summer. To get this stuff, I mean, during the fall to get this stuff ready for the summer. So I stepped that little rock on that little thing with my right foot. It was solid. And when I lift up the left leg to go on over there, I went over in there. Mind you, I said the wall was about this tall. Them folk had dug that ground behind there 3.5-4 feet deep. And I went in a plunge. Whoosh. Pastor said, can you swim? I said, no, I can't swim. So all of this just got, I mean, I was just soaked. And I didn't know what was going on. It just didn't come to my mind. I'm like, what's happening to me? I got instantly cold. I couldn't hardly talk. I couldn't think. But I thought enough to get up out of there as quick as I can. And, you know, I clammed up out of that thing. I mean, that thing was about 4 feet deep. And I went my way over to the truck. And I called my supervisor. But I thank the Lord. You know, and he's like, man, you got some heat. And I drove all the way back to the shop. And I keep clothes in my truck, but somebody took my pants. Somebody took something else out of my truck. And so I was just in a bad place. But Lord made provision. I thought, well, I got this Carhartt suit, and it's insulated. I'll put that on. So God made provision. I just thank God for keeping me because you don't know. I mean, they asked me, what else could you have done? I told them the same thing. I had a vacation day just in case the weather got bad. But my son said, Dad, you shouldn't go work. The streets are bad. This, that, and the other. I hate for people to try to put fear in me. When you try to put fear in me, you're going to make me go anyway. So I said, oh, it's going to be all right. So you made it home, didn't you? Yeah, but I spent the round. He spent the round in my truck coming home. So he almost tore it up. And I said, well, I'm going to go. And the streets wasn't that bad. But I told him, I said, you know what? I should have kept my vacation day and stayed at home. You know, now y'all look at me like, had I not come in soaking wet. Because my supervisor, he pulled this picture up on Google. And he says, this the house? I'm like, no, it don't look like the house because the house had all rock in it on that picture. I'm like, I ain't stepping on rock. I said, you see? I said, I mean, I'm drenched. I'm soaked. And I said, what year is that? He said, oh, that's 2012. I said, yeah, because it's all water now. And so I went back to put the people's meter in, and I told them, and they just couldn't believe it. They said they got 200 fish in there, and I took a picture and showed them. This is what I stepped in, not the rock that you're seeing on Google. That's 4 or 5 years ago. I said, they got some, man, I dug all that out and put fish in there. So I just thank the Lord for keeping me. Oh, my God. I mean, boy, had it been a little bit deeper, I might have been in trouble. You know, my supervisor said, well, you know, the guys, they mock me at work. I don't mind. But I say, long as God don't mind. If it don't offend him, they all right. Because it don't offend me. Because he said, look, don't offend my people. That's what he said. Don't you offend them. So I say, I hope it ain't offending you, Lord, because it ain't offending me. It's funny. He said, well, you thought you can walk on water. And I made light of the situation. I said, well, yeah, you know, I must have went on my own because he didn't say come. So I might have been doing it on my own terms. I said, but next time y'all will know when y'all don't see Brother Al when it get a little drizzle on the ground. I'll call him and tell him, I ain't going to be able to make it. So I thank the Lord for just keeping me wherever I go. I mean, I tell you, I'll be in some situations just like yesterday. I was turning on some people water, and I had some emergencies. The first emergency, they put it at the top of my order. So I shot and got that because these folks didn't have no water. And elderly lady, she didn't have no water. She had a window open. The pipes were frozen, so I thawed it out. Then they sent me another emergency, which they put it all the way at the bottom. And I'm thinking, why do they do this? So I worked the orders in front thinking, you know, because they can watch and see what I'm doing. And something just the Holy Spirit, not something, forgive me, Lord, told me to work that last order. So I get over there. These people didn't have no water. Their pipes were frozen. So young man, kitchen, he's working. The mother, she came, and I said, well, ma'am, I got it taken care of for you. She said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I don't know what was said. She said, hey, let me take you meet my father. You know, I'm taking care of my father. He's 89 years old. So I walk in. He's in a hospital bed. They said, because, yeah, I need water to feed him and cook, to clean him. Man looked like he about 65 years old. He looked good. She said he's 89 years old. And he's just, I guess, that Alzheimer's done kicked in. She said, you know what? This was nothing but God. I said, it sure was. I said, because your order was at the very last of my ticket. You was the last person today. And I don't even know if I would have made it according to the time unless they allow us to work that overtime. So God gave me an opportunity to speak with them. I had prayer with them, and she was just so, I mean, the lady just cried, cried, cried. So you just never know. You never know where and why God puts you. Erica, you just never know. Like you say, you don't go out there banking on spending money for people. But when God touches your heart and puts you in a position, something rise up in you and say, I can do this. I will do it. Even if I can't, I'll do what I can. And that ain't nothing but the Lord. You know, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about the kingdom of God. And that was the kingdom that came not to those people in that grocery store, Erica. They don't realize, but that was the kingdom of God reaching out to them. And it's always the kingdom of God when you're out there trying to do something for somebody else. You know, you could easily say, well, all of this, I can fill up my refrigerator. Or she could have just stayed for me, like, look, whatever's going on. Putting us in places where we need to be to help people, that the people will not see us, see Brother Al lifted up, Sister Erica lifted up, but that they will see God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that there is somebody out there yet that's doing the will of God. You know, somebody out there, may not be a whole lot of them, Lord, but you got some people somewhere that's willing to do what you say do. So I'm going to do a little reading today, and I hope today that I can encourage you all, somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for another day. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Your word is everlasting. We thank you, Lord, for your keeping power, Lord. We just thank you for being so mindful of us. We pray, Father, today, Lord, that you would use me, Lord, to encourage your people, Lord. Give me something, Lord, to say, Lord, to speak to your people, Lord, to get them through, if nothing but today. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. I'm going to be reading out the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 up to 17. And y'all bear with me now. Say some amens. All right, Brother Al. Son. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, some people say he just fasted 40 days. They forgot the nights. He didn't do all day. Sound like he did all day to me, 40 days. He was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceedingly high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and say unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, where it is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and them which sat in the region and shadow of the death light, which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From the time Jesus began to preach, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when I begin to study and look up and meditate about the kingdom, all of these parables that Jesus spoke of start coming to mind. And we know that the parable of the sower and what ground that they fell on, you know, these were the people that had these type of hearts, and they didn't let the word fall in good ground. And the word was the kingdom. The kingdom coming nigh to the people. Jesus said, if I cast out Satan, then the kingdom is come unto you. And it sounds like that when the word of God is preached or expound on, you testify about it, if the word get in us some kind of way, it's the kingdom coming to the people that God is trying to call these people. And what got me was some of the parables that he spoke on, and was all about investing. You know, the parable of the woman with the leaven of bread, the flour. He said, we'll liken the kingdom of heaven unto leaven. And if this woman add this leaven to this meal, this flour, then that whole batch is going to be full of leaven. So she invested something in something that wasn't doing anything. The man invested into his field, this mustard seed. He put it in something. So it's always investing in and you and get invested. It's a two-way street. So got to the parables of the foolish virgins. Jesus said that there was five wise and there were five foolish virgins. And we'll talk about the five foolish for a minute. And he said, why do we consider the foolish virgins? Why were they foolish? You know, you can probably think of a lot of things, but what came to me that these virgins They were foolish because they didn't have nothing inside of them. They may have had it at one time because we see that they were virgins. There was five wives and there were five fools, but they were called virgins. And what got me is that when the time came, when Jesus came, five wasn't ready. Why wasn't they ready, but they were virgins? What happened to these virgins? It sounded like that they had something before and they lost. We virgins, you think about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now they tell me that, Dad, you probably answer this. They tell me that when you a wheat and the tares, when they start off, they look the same. You can't distinguish one from the other. But Jesus said, when the harvest come. Now, when the harvest come, that means you're going to get some off of them. You're going to get something from something at harvest time. It's time to collect. You know, so these tares at the time before the harvest, that the plant, we got to go through something, what I'm trying to tell you, before the harvest come. The harvest is coming. He's going to come one day. Jesus, that song that said Jesus is going away, they say he's coming back again. There was a nobleman that went away, but he came back to check on his servants. Jesus is going to come back and check on us and see how we have done. But when the wheat and the tares, they grow up together, you can't distinguish one from the other until the harvest comes. But before the harvest, you got rain. You got to have somebody cultivating the land around them. You got to have the sun. What I'm trying to say is you got to go through some things in order for you to bear some fruit. So if you ain't bearing no fruit, you're going to either be a wheat or you're a tare. His servant said, look, we know that you sowed the good seed, but while we slept, somebody came and sowed some bad seed. You know, they put the devil out there among us. You know, we hear it all the time that the devil come and sit on the church with you. He sit on the front bench. I used to hear all the time. And that's why sometimes I wouldn't want to sit on the front bench. I don't want nobody thinking I'm the devil. You know, your people can mess you up in the mind. They can really mess you up. So we know that the good and the evil, but we can't distinguish. Yeah, we say, well, we will know them by the fruit that they bear. But Jesus said, no, leave them right there. That ain't your job. You just live with them. Maybe one, if you stay close to them or they stay close to you, maybe they can just intertwine with you and bear some fruit from you. You know? So he said, leave them there. At harvest time, I'm going to send my angels and they're going to do the reaping. They're going to divide. They're going to separate the wheat from the tares, the goat from the sheep. See, we don't know nothing about nobody's heart. Only God does. And that's why we ought to bring them the kingdom. If they don't accept the kingdom, we move on, like you said. But these five foolish virgins, it seemed like that they had something at one time, and when it was time to pay up, they didn't have it. At the end, they lacked the oil. You can't have no light without no oil. You can have a wick, the vessel, but if you ain't got nothing inside of it to bring forth that light, you just a dead vessel. You just sitting there, and God can't do nothing with no dead vessels. So we got to have some oil in these vessels. So it seems like that they lack something. You know, maybe they were busybodies, maybe they were gossipers, but I'm still a virgin. But it's something that you ain't doing that's sapping the oil out of you. How do you keep the oil? How do we keep this oil in us? You know, maybe they was jealous hearted. Maybe they were high minded. Maybe they talk bad, but they still consider themselves as virgins. But you ain't got no oil. You ain't got nothing inside of you. Something is sapping the oil out of you. He said, but there are vessels that are empty inside of us. How do we get in such a place? It sounds like that they was in the same place where these other wise virgins were. But how is it that this stuff can make the virgin lose out on what they're supposed to have? Let's go over to 2 Timothy 2:21. Now bear with me today. Let me know if you got it. You got to say amen. See, the Bible said, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:21, he said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So purge yourself from these, he said. From what are these? Go down to chapter 3, and I'm going to do some more reading. Verse 1. This know also, he's telling Timothy, Paul is, he said, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The men shall be lovers of themselves, own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they can't keep themselves, lack of self-control. Sound like a virgin, one of those foolish virgins. They was doing something that sapped the oil. They were fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Titus says, they profess that they know God, but in works they denied him, being abominable, disobedient unto every good work, a reprobate. These five virgins may have been virgins, but they lost out because they didn't keep themselves. They couldn't do what need to be done. Why, we don't know. Because five went and five didn't go. Sometimes we get in a situation to where sometimes we want to go back to default. Default, correct me, dirt, if I'm not right. When you got a computer, it's already set to something. If you want to change it, that's the default. If you want to change, you got to go in and program it, put it to where you want it, and let it stay there. Sometimes I get into something, and I'll change, and it'll work. But when I shut it down, come back up, it's back in default. It's back in its original state. See, sometimes we get in the place, it gets so hard, we think that we can't make it. We go back to default. We revert back to where we come from. We revert back to what we were set from the beginning in sin. Paul said, lay aside every sin and every weight that easily besets you. Don't go back to default because you up against something. We can't go back. We got to move forward. Ain't nothing back there no more. We know what's back there. So when you go back, you're sapping the oil out of you. You ain't got no light. You ain't got nothing to give nobody. Now let's talk about the five wise virgins. And it says there was five wise. They had something that they can, that God can, that gave them that they can use, that God can use. They had the oil that brought forth light. Jesus, we know, is the light of the world. So when the kingdom comes to you, it's Jesus coming to you. Whether it be in the mustard seed size, that don't make the kingdom small. What you put, what you take from the kingdom and put inside you will make you great. That man that planted that seed in his field, our field is our heart. We got to let the kingdom rest inside of our heart. In 2 Kings 4, that there was a man that came to this widow woman. And he told her, look, go and borrow vessels, empty vessels. There's a lot of empty vessels out there. He said, go and borrow the vessels, you and your sons. And say, when you come in, shut the door. See, that's how you keep the oil. Sometimes we don't want to come in and stay before God and shut the door. That's how we can keep this oil inside of us. If you don't shut the door and stay before God long enough, you get out there, you find yourself one of these five foolish virgins. He said, look, when you come in, shut the door. He said, pour into this empty vessel. The Bible says that when they poured, that they ran out of vessels, but did not run out of oil. How many know that if you stay before God, stay on your knees, stay in your word, you can't run out of oil? You have enough to give whoever needs what they need. You have, I ain't talking about only monetary things. There's some people out there that's hurting so bad that they need what God has given you. God has not given us all the same gift. Everybody don't have the money, but everybody don't have the love. Everybody don't have the patience. Everybody don't have that temperament. And the only way you can get those things is to go through sometimes. If you're praying for patience, look out for some trials. If you're looking for the love of God, look out for that one that God put in your life that's going to hate you. The Bible says iron sharpen iron. Sometimes you put in a place where you can be sharpened up. So he said, look, go out there and borrow some vessels and pour this oil out in them. That's what we got to do. There's some vessels out there that's waiting for us that need this oil. And he said, if just keep on pouring it out, Erica, keep on pouring it out. Keep giving it out. Keep giving it out. He said, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So whatever you got, whatever you need, whatever somebody else's need, it's an everlasting kingdom. It won't run out. You're to keep on flowing just like this widow said. Look, y'all got any more vessels? No, we ain't got no more vessels, but we got some more oil. We running out of vessels out there, saints? No, we're not running out of vessels. We're running out of oil. We're seeing that the church is like the five wise and five foolish virgins. David said, look, he said, he anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Anybody cup running over this morning with oil that they can give somebody? Anybody got some cups that's God and poured something on you that you ain't got to worry about your sons? You ain't got to worry about your bills? The Lord spoke to us this morning, said, don't worry about what's coming on. I took that literally. I thought that, well, I knew the Lord was talking to me because she didn't know what I was over there praising the Lord and talking to the Lord about. Don't worry about it. Just stay before me. That's what the Lord told us, and that's what he confirmed to me. Stay before me. Your oil will run over. Your cup is going to overspill. You ain't going to have less. You're going to have more. We are supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers. We're supposed to be the givers and not the takers. We're supposed to have plenty of what we need. See, once God poured on you, you're going to love it. She said she loved that. Once God put this oil on you and poured this stuff on you, you're going to always want to be in a place where you can bless somebody. Once God, you're going to always be looking for an empty vessel. Now you might be going to the store, look and see, who can I help? Who is it, Lord, that you want me to help? The Bible tells us that, look, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. I don't know about great, great. I don't know how you're seeing the word great, but I think great for me is many people. Because what I have to give, some of the great men don't even want. If you ain't got the same status that they got, money, houses, tangible things that you can touch, they don't want to associate with you. But when you come and bring in this here word, this kingdom come nigh them, they don't want to have no part of that. So God is telling us to get on out there to the poor folk. Get out there to the people that want this. People that's out there praying and asking, Lord, send somebody. Send somebody. I wouldn't doubt that nobody wasn't praying in that store. Send somebody, Lord. Young, the men that we sit the clothes down there to. You know, it ain't always that the person that we was talking about that delivered this thing. It's the people that's always in the back. Y'all brought all of this stuff to the church. And the homeless guy said, look, we be right over on that lot praying, asking God to supply our needs, to bring us something. I said, well, Lord, I said, well, man, he done answered your prayers. It don't make no difference. God is looking at the poor folk. He looking at us to see what we going to do. I don't want to be a five. I don't want to be one of those foolish virgins. I want the Lord to pour it on me. Don't you want the Lord to pour the oil upon you? We got to understand that it don't make no difference what kingdom we're living in. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, look, his kingdom is everlasting. His dominion is from generation to generation. Some people say that this generation is lost. The Bible just told us that this, his dominion is from generation to generation. So my generation ain't lost. I serve you notice because his dominion is forever. It's to this generation that you think is lost. It's to the poor folk that you think that ain't going to make it. The Bible said, look, the kingdom of God belongs to the poor. It belongs to them. So whatever we need, it's in the kingdom of God. It's in the word of God. So when you get out there, don't think that you got to always have the something to pull out of your pocket. Always have something loaded in your heart to where you can dispense and pour out to the people where they can meet. Jesus said, look, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is the same, they are nigh you. The word, it's the word. Jesus is the kingdom. He came in flesh. He said, the word is nigh you. It's in your mouth. All we got to do is start speaking the word. What did a sister say this morning? Get the word down in your what? In you so you can what? Use it. She right. That's the only way we can fight the devil. What did Jesus do? He combated the devil with the word. Not with what he wanted to say. A lot of times we want to say what we want to say. My words ain't worth nothing. Paul said, look, I don't come to you with wise words from men. He said, I come to you with spirit and power, which is the word of God. All we got to do is preach and speak the word of God. It's going to help somebody. It's going to help the poor folk. It's going to help your sons. It's going to help your daughters. Saints of God, let us stay before God. Let us get on our knees, like the Lord said this morning. Let us seek God on a daily basis so God can pour this thing out. Pour out on us, Lord. I'm asking God to pour out on me. Not just the oil. He said he will bring forth the floods up on the dry ground. Are you dry today? Are you dry? God don't want us to be dry. He said the enemy walks up and down dry places. God want to anoint you. He wanted to bring a river up out of you. He said, I will give them drink to those that are thirsty. Are you thirsting this morning? Are you hungering this morning? Are you leaning on the Lord like the song said this morning? I don't know something about that song. Every time y'all sing that song, it touches me from the core. It causes me to just cry and just let me know that it's only him that I'm leaning on. It's all I need is Jesus. That's all we need is Jesus to lean on, not your bank account, not the house. All this stuff, God bless us with these things. I know we got a parable that he said he blessed these men with. He gave these men talents, and they came back. Some of them did good, but one hid and said that, hey, I knew my master was a hard man. But God ain't always talking about money. He ain't coming back for money. He didn't ask them virgins, did they have any money? He said, where's your oil at? What did you do? What kind of oil we need in us? We need love. We need patience. We need long suffering. We need all those fruits. We need the gifts of the Spirit. That's what God's looking for. I know, it's good to have your pockets fat, but if ain't nothing inside of you, you're just a useless vessel. You know, he said, purge yourself from these. How can we purge ourselves? David said, look, Lord, how can a young man cleanse his ways? How can I cleanse my ways? He said, by taking heed according to thy word. That's what the Bible wants you to do. Take heed to what he's saying. The word of God will clean you up. The word of God will get down in you and clean you up once you start searching the word. Get in the word and watch and see what the word would do. I called pastor the other day and said, pastor, look, I had got touched by the word by one of the ministers on TV. And I made a vow. I didn't keep that vow. I said, can I pay this vow? I need to get in touch with this brother so I can pay this vow. Lord, I want to keep my vow. But the more I started to pray, the more I started seeking the Lord, God started bringing these things back to me. This is what you need to go and do first. You need to go and get that together first. Stay before God and watch and see, don't you see some things change. Changing you and changing people. The brother that I was praying for and ministering to about the marriage situation, all that has been reconciled. Only by the word. Only by the word, because he kept coming to me with what the preacher said. What this brother said, I say, well, probably because they doing it the same thing. So they going to make it okay. I said, but look, I have to reason with the scripture. This is what the word says. And every time he'd come around me, he would bring up the situation, not me. It was just something inside of him that was pricking his heart. And I know it was the word. So every time I came around him, I left the word. This is what the word says, brother. This is what the word says we got to do. The word says the wife is the weaker vessel. The word says that we ought to cover for our wives. We're supposed to be the covering for our wife, not run away from our wife. This is what the word says. The word says, I hate putting away. This is what the word says. I don't know what they teaching you. I said, you better get in the word and find out what the word is saying. Jesus said to this young man, this rich man, he said, Lord, he said, I've done everything that you told me to do. I kept all the commandments. Sound like the five foolish verses. I've done everything, Lord. But it was something lacking that he didn't do. He couldn't do. He said, what is it? What I need to do? So Jesus said, you lack one thing. See, sometimes we better get out of this I'm only human. God knows I'm human stuff. It's dangerous, for real. God showed me it's dangerous. He said, you lack one thing. So what is that? He said, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor. I ain't telling you that God is telling you that. But Jesus told him to do something. He didn't do it. The Bible says that he walked away sorrowful. So what I'm saying, saints, we can be one thing. One thing can be lacking in us, can keep us in trouble. We can be in danger. He told the churches, I have one thing. I have this against you. I have this against that church. So it can be one thing that can cause us to slip right on into hell. I know some people might say, well, Brother Al, it don't say he went to hell. It don't say he followed Jesus either. It say he turned around and walked away sorrowful. The Bible say, look, don't store your treasures up on earth. That's what his treasure was right here. But Lord, I did everything. I kept those commandments. Well, what about this commandment? Go and tell your sister you sorry. Tell your wife I'm sorry for being the knucklehead that I've been all these years. Tell your kids I'm sorry for being the way that I've been. I'm sorry for telling you that you'll never amount to nothing. What about those things? That thing can cause you to slip right into hell. When God tells you to go and mend things, you better go and mend. Because when he comes, you ain't going to have no all. You're going to be standing up like that, man. I've done all of this. I didn't commit no adultery, Lord. I wasn't no thief. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But you didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't forgive. You didn't love. You didn't have patience with that old person over there. You was in a hurry to go. You stood there, but you were just, oh, I wish she shut up. You got to get old too one day. And I believe that's why God let us, some of us, get old. Or get into places, allow us to be in the places that we be in. So you reap what you sow. So saints of God, let us stay on our knees. Let us stay in the word of God like it was told to us in prophecy this morning. Don't despise the prophecy. Let us stay in the word of God. You're going to have some awe when Jesus come back. But he said, when I return, I'm not looking for no house. I ain't looking for how much you brought back in the bank because I don't need your money. I ain't looking for how many cars you kept clean. I ain't looking for none of that stuff. He said, when I return, will I find faith? Is there any faith in the land today? People just losing faith. They just giving up doing everything. As if though there is no king in this land. We got a king in this land. We acknowledge our king, don't we? Jesus is king. He's Lord. So we shouldn't be doing the things that we are doing. Lord, help us this morning. Help us this morning to stay before you. Help us this morning, Lord, that we may have this awe, that we may go out and give unto your people. Saints of God, don't be a foolish virgin. Seek the Lord. Know the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. David said, I hid
I hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't hide it under the bush. Don't hide it under the bed. Get the word out. If you got one word, use the one word. If you got two, use the two. Use what you got. He said, I give to every man according to his ability. You may not be able to handle a word like Pastor, Sister Flippo, these younger folks. Some young folk can handle the word. But whatever God give you, do something with it. Don't sit on the saints of God. Let's get busy for the Lord. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you, Jackie, again for holding us accountable. You know, we got to do better than what we're doing. We got to do better. I'm trying. I say, Lord, the more I seek you, he don't show me nobody else. He showed me Brother Al. Here's what you need to do, Brother Al, if you want to come up here. Here's what you need to do, Brother Al, if you want more of me. You got to stay before me. It's just too much going on. Too much is calling you away from me. You got to stay before God, saints of God. If we don't have this word in us, we ain't going to be able to fight. We won't be able to stand. Sister said we won't be able to stand. You know, these are perilous times. They're evil. People ain't got no love for nobody no more. The innocent blood has just been shed, I mean, daily. And I guess we're so close to it, we're just immune to it. I mean, don't too much faze you too much, because you're hearing it every day. Every day you're hearing about somebody leaving her in a wretched way. But I have to question a lot of that stuff. I said, Lord, you promised to keep us. I don't understand what they're saying. Well, you know, the promise is to me and my children. That's what the word says. But I still, it's something that my children, I still believe it's something that you got to do. I still believe you got to live. And there is a false word out there that's deceiving the kids. You know, mom and dad is almost like saying, if mom and dad is saved, you saved. You know, nobody's holding them accountable. You know, well, the Bible says it's the promises to me. Yes, but if you acknowledge the Lord, but if you accept him as your Savior, you can't go on my coattail. I got to stand before him for myself. And if you stand with me, you may not make it either. How you know you're going to make it? You better go and make sure you do what you're supposed to do. This is your walk. You can't walk with me. Get in there and find God for yourself. Search him out. He said, ask, shall be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. He ain't going to close the door on you. Saints, God bless you. I love you. You all continue to pray for me and pray my strength in the Lord. Anybody need prayer this morning? Before I turn this back over to Pastor. Anybody need for us to stand and agree for somebody, with somebody? We supposed to be doing some work, laying hands. And I lay hands on people. I pray for them. I try. I get out there and say, Lord, is this the day? When I walked in that man in that hospital bed, I said, Lord, is this the day? I'm going to try. I'm going to run to every battle, to every fight. I'm going to try. I'm going to pack my pistols up, put them in the gun locker, and believe this word. And if God see fit for me to go, then it was fit for me to go. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's the word of God. And people don't believe that. You know, I got preaching friends, pastors, saying that they got their license to carry. If somebody do something to my wife. Now, God told me to protect my wife. You know, we're the protector now. When I got married, I took on this. I said, yeah, you protect your wife. I said, I believe that. I said, but man, he don't say nothing about shooting nobody. He said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You know, so we really got to fasten down and stay with this word, because people are doing all kind of things. Save folk, doing all kind of stuff. And it can be deceitful. Because, you know, a lot of stuff he was saying was good. But when he got to the pistol part, bringing it into church and all of that. Oh, yeah, y'all behind. This was, I mean, this is now, but I've been witnessing to a brother for years about bringing pistol into church. Probably sat in this church with one for years. You know, what if Smith and Wesson don't work at the time you need? What if Sig Sauer, when you pull that trigger, it don't click? What if it don't work? You in the world of trouble. But the word will always work. Brother Hagin said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I heard his testimonies. All the bullets went around him. So we got to live by this word. We're going to die by this word. No other way. It's the word. It's the kingdom of God that has come nigh us. And we got to use the word of God like it's our life. And it is our life. It's our life. It's a life-changing experience. The things that you used to do, you just don't want to do them no more. There was a time that, you know, when I first got saved, it wasn't no problem going back to doing what I used to do. But it just, when people talk about it, and you know, you just get all, man, I don't want to hear that. But you try to keep it cool. I don't want to go, you know, no. You know, then what? Okay, then what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I just don't want to do those things no more. God didn't call me out of those things. I want to do something different. I'm tired of living like everybody else out in the street. I'm tired of smoking the dope like everybody else. I'm tired of drinking like everybody else. I'm sick and tired of cheating on my wife like everybody. I'm tired of all of that. It's time for a change. When we going to change for the better? We want to get out of here? All we got to do is change. We'll be gone. I believe God will come get us quick. He'll shorten the time. When we change, when we truly change, whew, the time will be short. It's shortening now, but I think it's a little bit prolonged. There's too much going on. There ain't too much happening in the church. I got sinners asking, how come ain't nobody been healed no more? I said, what you know about that? Well, it's in the Bible. They used to do it in the old days. How come ain't nobody been delivered no more? How come nobody ain't getting the Holy Ghost no more? I said, what's the Holy Ghost? Yeah, but they know. They know. You know, but that's why, you know, people, Paul said, look, the Gentiles, they blaspheme God's name because of you. Because of us. You know, because the way we live. We live good sometimes, and sometimes we don't. You know, Pastor said, beginning of the year, no more stopping and start. Let's put your feet to the pedal and let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving in the word of God. Without the word, we're nothing. But with the word, we can do all things. We cannot fail with the word of God. Saints, God bless you. Love you. May the Lord bless you. I hope I done said something that would spark you, cause you to go back and read your Bible, get some ideas and do something for the Lord. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. Come on, saints, let's pray for this baby.